You're listening to the Wine Country Live Morning Show with Barry Martin
on KVON Napa, 1440 AM at KVON.com.
And we're happy to welcome in for our regular Medical Monday segment, Dr. Karen Maluccio, Napa County's Public Health Officer. Good morning.
Good morning.
Glad to have you here once again to update us on the status of things. And, you know, let's start out on a positive note. We saw declining case rates last week. That's a good sign, right?
Yes, absolutely. We've seen less cases, and we've also seen a decline in our hospitalizations and you know, patients that are hospitalized in the intensive care unit as well.
Down in all those categories, very good information, good to know. And it looks like the post-holiday surge is subsiding. Is that the explanation?
Yes, absolutely. We are, you know, seeing a decline, yet we are still in the purple tier based on our high case rates. So we're still in deep purple at this time. But, you know, it is nice to see with the lifting of the regional stay at home order that has been, you know, lifted by the state, you can see some activity with outdoor dining and the other other things that are open, such as hair salons, nail salons, and personal care services. So we're beginning to see that pick up now that has been lifted.
Yeah, it's nice to have any feeling of moving in the right direction. I think that's what we're all grasping at right now. It's not getting worse. Let's, you know, root for that, I guess.
Yeah.
The focus, however, has really shifted now in everybody's minds. All the talk is now about vaccines and vaccination rates and vaccination supply. So let's get into that territory. Where do we stand going into this week? Do we have enough vaccine on hand to meet the goals of Napa County getting shots into arms this week?
We do not. So we have had a lot of vaccinations happened on the week of January 11th and January 18th. And now we are approaching the second dose wave. So we are starting our second doses this week. And then next week and the week after will be very heavy in the amount of doses that are needed to fulfill the second dose within 28 days. However, we don't have enough for first doses. So we have had to put a stop to our first dose clinics because we are anticipating this second dose tsunami in the next couple of weeks where we don't have enough vaccine to provide second doses and first doses at the same time. And this also has an impact on the healthcare entities and pharmacies where we allocate doses. So we give, you know, first doses to them and they're coming up to their second dose. So we also have to keep them in mind as well. So we don't have nearly enough.
Does that mean that people who are in the eligible categories and have signed up on the vaccine interest form should not expect to get notified that it's their turn to get a shot for this week for an extended period? How long will that last?
Yeah, I think it's all going to be contingent on supply. So, you know, we will find out. What supplies we'll have available early this week, and then just to try to, we have to plan ahead and figure out where we have enough first and second doses. So I would say at this time, first shots, at least through Napa County Public Health Clinics, are on hold. However, that being said, I know that Kaiser had a clinic this weekend for people that are 75 plus. And I know that Queen of the Valley Medical Associates are also going to have a clinic this week. So I think that if you are a patient that is 75 years of age or older, and you are a patient within these two medical centers, then you should hopefully be getting reached out to. So we're not going to be the only game in town.
That's good news. Those two health associations have a lot of members in the local community, obviously. What light can you shed on where the problem is? There's manufacturing of the vaccine, there's distribution of the vaccine. Why are we running short? It's not just here, obviously, but it's almost everywhere. Why are we running short right now?
Yeah, I don't really have a good idea of that. I know that in the federal level, there isn't enough supply, and part of it might be manufacturing. I know that they're looking into procuring more vaccines just increasing the contract for vaccines, for at least Pfizer. I don't know what's happening with the others. So I honestly don't have a good idea of what that is. I think there's also, we're waiting for approval of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, which mm-hmm. which is a single dose vaccine, mm-hmm. but they don't have an ample supply of vaccine either. And they're anticipating, from what I've heard, that they would get to 100 million doses by April. So that's going to take a while.
Mm. So good news and bad news every time we talk, right? This something's going well, something else may not be on the multi-headed monster that is the pandemic. In terms of the, let's talk about the priorities now. And I was chatting about this in regard to some of the other news earlier and kind of confusing myself. At one point, there was a system, who gets the vaccine next based on their occupation or their risk level, it seemed, a mixture of the two. Then there was the word not too long ago from the state that it would be focused purely on the age categories. Is that true now? Is it only about the age categories? Is there no occupational risk factor involved in who gets the shot?
Yeah, that's a good question, and you have a really good reason to be confused. Phase 1A is healthcare workers in various settings. So, I think we're finishing Phase 1A to the extent practicable. We have some stragglers that haven't been able to get their vaccine. So just trying to keep them in mind because they are the highest priority at this juncture. Then you get to Phase 1B, Tier 1, which used to be 75 plus, emergency service workers, food and agriculture, and education and childcare. So then there was a change a couple of weeks ago that expanded the eligible age to 65 years of age and older, which substantially increases the population that needs to be vaccinated. So we could be in Phase 1B, Tier 1, for a long time. And then the state's direction after that is once you get through this phase, then we would move into an age-based system. So that's although the priority in Phase 1B, Tier 1, are people that are 65 years of age or older, mainly because they're the ones getting hospitalized, and they're also the ones that are dying. So from a public health perspective, the focus on age is important.
Yeah, it's talk about the unsolvable problem. You can make a case either way, right? You can make the case that the person who is out there on the front lines, not a medical worker, but say a grocery store person, a teacher, well, all these other folks who are interfacing with the public as part of their job, that they're at higher risk of getting it. But then the older person who might be able to stay isolated is at less risk of getting it. But if they do get it, the outcome could be worse. So it's what a difficult choice to have to be making all the time. The question that follows naturally is, how does the vaccine interest form translate into who gets a call that it's your turn to get the vaccine? If you have all these different levels of criteria, can you explain that a little bit?
Yeah, so with the vaccine interest form, we're looking at two main things. First, anyone who's left over in Phase 1A, because that is the highest priority. These are healthcare workers, people that have interactions with patients, as well as you know, categories where there's one-on-one interaction with a client, especially high-risk clients. So these are, this is phase 1A. And then what we're doing for phase 1B, tier 1, is we're really trying to get people that are 75 years of age or older. And then for any of these sectors, we're trying to prioritize people that are 65 years of age or older. So that's, and this is based on the the temporal order which people sign up. That being said, we've had some glitches where people have signed up for an appointment. An appointment is sent to them, but it goes into junk mail. So that, you know, which is unfortunate because we want to make sure that we're able to get people. But it's, you know, if you're talking about a list of 40,000 plus, then we're going to be in a situation where there are definitely going to be errors that we're trying to fix.
Yeah, sure.
As we go. And then I just also want to mention that the state has put out a couple more changes in the last week. First of all, the rollout of the vaccine sign-up called MyTurn, the statewide system, where people enter, you know, their age and information and what category they fit in. So we are going to be negotiating and navigating the transition into the statewide system while we're trying to, you know, finish off our second doses using the old system. So there's a lot of work going on with this transitional phase. And then the second part that has been announced by the state is having a third-party administrator, which is Blue Shield, and they are going to make allocation decisions on behalf of the counties across the state. And the whole idea is to keep vaccine prioritization standardized and less confusing because it differs from counties from county to county, mainly because some counties are still vaccinating phase 1A or healthcare workers. They have far more of them. And then others are already in phase 1B, tier 1, such as us.
Complicated thing. So if someone has signed up on the Napa County vaccine interest form, will they need to sign up again when the MyTurn system comes on, or will it just all roll over?
No, unfortunately, it looks like they're going to have to sign up again. And the reason why is because the MyTurn form asks for a lot more information than our vaccine interest form. You know, we basically ask for a name and an email.
Yeah.
The MyTurn system asks for, you know, your age and asks for your the sector you work in. It asks for far more information.
And when do you think, is there a ballpark of when the MyTurn system will roll out?
Yeah, it's, I would say in the next, you know, 2 or 3 weeks, it's unclear. It'd be really nice to get, you know, when the state announces any changes, sometimes it doesn't come with a concrete plan or a concrete date. So we're waiting to hear from them as to when the hard deadline that all counties must be signed up on MyTurn is. So we're waiting for that still. And in the meantime, our team is working with them to onboard into the MyTurn platform. And basically, you know, the situation continues to evolve daily.
This is another one of those moments that reminds us of that building the airplane while you're flying it analogy. You know, every different episode of the pandemic has had those moments to it, and we're in another one of them right now. The other big story nationally, internationally now that people are talking about is the new variants issue. And every day you can read various stories. Some will tell you that existing vaccines will protect you from the new variants. Others will say the new variants are so much more contagious, it's going to cause another big surge. There's a lot of news coverage, and it's hard, again, to cut through that and know what to believe. Can you speak to that a little bit, your concerns about the new variants and the vaccines that we have and the impact of the new variants?
Yeah, I think there's concern that some of the variants might have mutations that are significant enough where the effectiveness of the vaccine may decrease. But that being said, a lot of the vaccines are able to prevent severe disease. across the board. It might not prevent infection, but it will. It could prevent severe disease from COVID-19. So those are some conversations. And I think that, you know, coronaviruses in general, they mutate a lot. It's going to be like the new flu. So I'm not going to be surprised if, you know, there's guidance that comes out that says you have to get a COVID shot every year, because of the mutations of, that are found. And you know, that could actually, you know, that'll definitely have an impact in the future. But you know, I think the bad news is in the South African variant of the mutated virus, the vaccine, there's one vaccine that was less effective against it, but it didn't cause severe disease either. And I think it's important to remember when you think about flu shots, you know, flu shots prevent influenza, but the more important thing is it prevents complications from flu. And I think that with COVID-19, that's going to be the overriding purpose of the vaccine in the future.
And that's a point that really needs to be kept really clear. You know, there's a big difference between getting COVID-19, as we've heard many people say, having, you know, maybe a week. One of my friends on Facebook announced that he had tested positive and has posted a couple of updates, and he's, you know, eight, nine days feeling much better, coming back, no serious effects, no hospitalization, so on. That's, you know, a very different story from somebody who gets horribly ill, has to go to the hospital, maybe ends up in ICU. And if the vaccine just stops the process, you know, of getting super sick, that would be a major achievement, right?
Yes, absolutely. I think it's important to remember that, you know, there are two main purposes of vaccines. One is to prevent infection, but secondly is to prevent severe disease. Yeah. And, you know, a lot of vaccines that we have prevent severe disease.
Mm-hmm. Got to keep a frame of reference, keep all these different factors in mind as we talk about it.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. What else do you think that the public, our listening audience, needs to be hearing right now in terms of where we are as a new month begins? What's an important message? We've talked about the vaccines, the list, and so on. What else do people need to know?
Yeah, I wanted to talk about second doses. You know, I think that there's definitely been conversations about the fact that we might not have enough second doses to finish everybody that got a vaccine within 28 days. And we may be in a situation where we're going to have to prioritize people that are more at risk of COVID-19 disease, who need to be immunized fully more soon. And it's also possible we may have to prioritize healthcare workers in completing the vaccine series within 21 days. I think there's a perception that if you don't get the second vaccine, the second Moderna vaccine within 28 days, or the second Pfizer vaccine within 21 days, that it's rendered ineffective. And that's not true. You know, the CDC had put out guidance that you can wait up to 42 days or 6 weeks between the first and second dose. So we may be in a situation, depending on vaccine supply, where we are going to have to prioritize who gets the second dose within 28 days. But I just want to assure the public that this doesn't mean that renders your vaccine ineffective, and it also does not mean that you have to start the series all over again.
Yeah, that is important to hear. I'm glad you brought that up. I hadn't heard that question yet, but it was inevitably coming our way. The other topic that I want to get to before we run out of time, I mentioned this earlier as well. There's been a lot of confusion that I've seen on social media around this idea of a wait list here locally, and it's not a regional or statewide thing, but the idea that there's a list you can get on, that if there are excess doses, if there are doses available at the end of the day, you can get on some specific list and get a call, and maybe you squeeze in, you know, at 5 o'clock. Can you speak to that? Because I know there's a lot of confusion around it.
Yeah, at this point, there's only one list. This is the list that is generated by the vaccine interest form. And then within that vaccine interest form, there are going to be people where a first dose is a first dose invitation extends that person. But then there's another list where these are people at risk that do not have an appointment extended to them yet. So if we have extra doses at the end of the day, we called on the list of people that were not able to get an appointment, and we asked them to come and wait at 3:45 at the expo or wherever we're having our mass flu clinics. I mean, not flu, COVID clinics, and then they may or may not get a dose. It just depends on how many extra doses are left at the end of the day. We had originally planned, you know, to 4 to 6 doses left at the end of the day, but sometimes people don't show up to their appointments and we have more extra doses. So if there's not an extra dose list, it is just the same list of who are signed up on the vaccine interest form. These are just happen to be people that did not get an appointment to get their first COVID shot.
And they would be getting a message to get an appointment soon if they're at that point, if they're on the list and they're next to get called, essentially.
Yes, absolutely. You know, once again, everything is contingent on vaccine supply.
Exactly. I'm glad you elaborated on that because of all the confusion. So again, as we've been trying to focus on here on this show at least, go to the website countyofnapa.org, follow the COVID-19 link, and that gets you to the vaccine interest form link. And that is the list. If you want to be on a list, that's the one, right?
Yes, absolutely. I think there's also questions coming up about the transition into My Turn, which is the statewide system.
Right.
You know, I'm just basically encouraging people, sign up for both.
Yeah.
Be ready, you know, because we're going to be in a transition period, and they want to be ready to have their information in the state system just in case mm-hmm. we end up transitioning into that. So you have it just exercises all your options.
And can we access the My Turn sign up now?
You can. It doesn't mean that you're going to get an appointment for a vaccine, but you can put your information in there, and then it'll be ready for when vaccine is available.
Okay, good to know. MyTurn.ca.gov appears to be the place to go. All right, so go ahead and go there as well as the list on the county's website that I just mentioned. Dr. Karen Melusio, Napa County's public health officer, thank you for your time today. We covered a lot of important territory, I think.
Thank you, Barry.
All right.
It was a good opportunity.
Yeah, take care. We'll have a good week. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, you too.
All right.
You're listening to the Wine Country Live Morning Show with Barry Martin
on KVON Napa, 1440 AM at KVON.com.